Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to the Driven Woman Entrepreneur Podcast. Today's guest interview is with Lindsay Padilla, co-founder of Hello Audio, the company that I chose to host my private podcast, Show Up Like a Boss. Now, you're going to want to listen later on in the episode when I tell you exactly how to get your hands on that private podcast. But Lindsay and I are going to talk about so much more. And I think the most important topic is, how do we compete with so many other obligations and distractions in the lives of busy people when those people are our potential customers and clients? Well, I believe it's through the power of audio, because audio is the only type of content that we can consume on the go. Now, Lindsay Padilla and I both happen to have ADHD, and that's one of the reasons why we love content on the go. But all busy people find this type of medium to be incredibly useful. And if you've got a course you want to deliver, a coaching program that needs in between coaching call feedback, or an opt-in to build your email list and help you find new potential customers, I know of no better way than a private podcast. So I could keep telling you about it, but why don't we get right to the interview? So my special guest today is Lindsay Padilla, co-owner of Hello Audio. Now, there are many, many reasons why Lindsay is here today. I am a customer of Hello Audio. Hello Audio produces my private podcast, Show Up Like a Boss, but also because Lindsay has an interesting backstory. Like me, she is a highly educated professional who had a fully developed career doing something completely different before she became an entrepreneur. So before we start talking about audio in general, the future of audio, why audio, and how you might be able to introduce audio into your business, tell us like how you got here, because it's an interesting story.
The winding, long and winding road, following breadcrumbs, you know, the huge. Yeah. So my previous life, I was a college professor and spent, 30 plus years in the education system, got to a point where I had the full-time tenure track job, even, married into academia. Both my husband and I went through grad school together. And so we were very set. We bought a house. I mean, we did all the things. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like one day was like, wait, is this it? Like in true like high achieving fashion, I was like, wait, this can't be the top. And what was going on at that time was I had just defended my dissertation, and like the emptiness of, oh my gosh, the like thing I've been working towards my whole entire life is now quote unquote achieved. And I started getting into like working out and fitness. And I basically was an MLM, like a Shakeology. I'm like mixing in my, I taught sociology. I sold Shakeology. And so that was my introduction to working online. And it was that extra $1,000 a month that I started to get on top of my teaching career where I was like, oh, this is interesting. And like that now gave me something to focus on. And so then I went down the rabbit hole of, online social media marketing, and like Chalene Johnson was this really interesting overlap. And so, stumble into like Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield. And then I'm like, why am I selling someone else's product? Right. So that was when I decided, basically, I'm going to build my own business where I'm not selling someone else's product. And I still stuck with teaching. It still was very clear that there were a lot of people in the online space who had created courses and were selling courses, but didn't know how to teach online. And so that background in my college teaching career was just like front and center. And it was like, oh, I could help entrepreneurs teach better. And so that's what I've spent the last, 3-4 years doing was I had a consulting business. I had a podcast called Academics Mean Business. It was about academics who left academia or had side hustles. And then it was kind of, we just had this aha moment. Like, so I go from college professor to MLM, marketer to running an online consulting business. And then I found a problem in courses. And it was why people hired me. It was they hired me because they wanted their students to finish their course. And, yes, lesson plans can help, but I can't make a student log in. Okay. And so I had this moment in someone else's course that I bought a program that was hosted on like a WordPress site, unfortunately, and it just was such a rigmarole to get to the content. And then it was like a YouTube video. Content was fantastic. Like, no judgment on like not needing PowerPoint or anything, but I was just like, why can't I just listen to this? Why do I have to go through all of this? And that was really how Hello Audio was born, because it was like, oh, you know, podcasting has already figured this out. Now we just need to look at how do we protect that content, because her course was, I think, was like $1,800. It was like a high price course. And so, you know, that was the beginning of the end, if you will, where I said to my husband, he's kind of more the techie person, doesn't know how to code per se, but like he was able to research it and say, should we build it? And then that was it. And that was in 2019. So since then, I've been all in on developing a software. Yeah.
Can I just say, I mean, I knew you had ADHD. Okay. I've known this for a while. I knew this before I invited you to this interview, but because you represent the type of people that I work with, who are women who have ADHD, but are also highly educated, high functioning, and had already checked all the boxes and achieved success in their chosen career. And what do they do?
This can't be it.
Well, yeah, because because we're very goal oriented, and once we've achieved the goal, it's like falling off a cliff. Now what?
Yeah.
But to go from a shiny new PhD, and I come from academia, I know how rigorous that is. I know how long it takes. I know all the things about it. You then go into selling for an MLM. It's like, now that is a hairpin turn that I don't even think I have been able to pull off. But it does speak to the fact that you need to have a problem to solve for your brain. And once you found a problem that you could solve, you were off to the races. You're still married to the man that you put through this, right? Like, and you now have a kid together. So he's like buckled up and along for the ride.
And he wasn't, even in that early days of that business, he left with me. We both were just like, okay, we're done. Like, he was a semester away from tenure. I was a year and a half away from tenure. We left in the middle of an academic year. I mean, so many things.
But it was probably one of the best decisions you've made.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how that feels farther away than, you know, I think I literally just realized this. I made a Facebook post probably, I don't know, about a month ago. And I was like, oh, I've been an entrepreneur longer than I was a professor. That wake up was like, because that was such a huge identity piece for me. And there was definitely a transition of like not really knowing what I was going to do. Am I good at this? I was never taught any of these things that I'm trying to figure out. And I didn't love that as somebody who likes to like gain a lot of credentials and like, you know, knowledge. And so to just kind of take this risk of like running a business and it all relying on you to like produce is very different than a salaried position and all the things. So yeah, the identity shift was huge. And now I'm like, oh, I'm actually like an entrepreneur. Like, I'm not a professor anymore. And so I think that was a big realization that was recent. And that, so that took a long time. I've been in business about six and a half years, something like that.
I do think the identity piece is huge. I'm glad you brought it up, because I find that you're very entrepreneurial. It's very clear. And in a couple more years, you're going to think, I can't believe I was ever a college professor. Like, what the hell was I thinking?
I mean, and I was entrepreneurial in the classroom, to be honest. Like, I was using Google Hangouts with my students. And like, when it came out and other professors were like, why would you get on video with your online students? I'm like, why wouldn't you? Like, what are you talking about? And then, of course, now the world we're in now, that sounds silly. But that I was always experimenting, always using the latest things, and always being very, how could I make this better or more fun or more interesting? That was the kind of professor I was. So it's definitely always been there.
And not knowing that that actually means that you are an entrepreneur, and that that is probably
who happened to wear the professor.
Who happened to? But I think it's important to reflect on that, because so many people feel like, I put so much time, so much energy, so much effort, so much attention, so much sacrifice, so much money into this path. How can I just burn that down and do something that I have no experience doing? I don't even know if it's going to work. And I think the identity piece is really crucial, because if you can't imagine yourself being successful at something you've never done before, you might not be ready to do it, but you took the leap.
Totally.
You and Derek took the leap, and you now have a very successful company doing something that you are uniquely known for. So
yeah,
this is the backstory to Hello Audio, but why do you think audio in particular captivated you? Apart from the fact that you have ADHD and you don't like to sit still, and when you're listening, you could do that wherever you want.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's layers to it, right? And I love how you said that too. Like, that was always a thing that I was realizing with software is like, we had to build it because of our background. Like, there was something about what we've experienced and what we know about the world that's very unique. And so, yes, I spent like over $100K on my college degree or my graduate degree. So like, you know, people ask me all the time, like, was that a waste of money? And it's, you know, it's not a waste because it brought me exactly to where I am. And like, that is part of what made me in the position to be able to do this. So I always think that's important to bring up because there's no regret in any of this.
Same.
But yeah, the like, why audio? I think part of it was being so entrenched in the academic world and being like, man, wouldn't that have been great to be able to listen to a lecture if you needed to? Or, you know, I put my videos on YouTube when I was teaching online. And that was great. And it had like, it was PowerPoint, whatever, but it allowed my students to listen to the lecture whenever they wanted.
Yes.
And that wasn't very common back then. It's obviously a lot more now, but I think there's something to be said about that audio is special, that is very different than video. And like the video makes you have to sit in your butt in a chair, right? And so we're recording this, there's video happening, there's also audio happening, but like I can't be walking around and just, you know, chatting with you, because I need to be in front of this camera. And so when you're watching a video to learn something, it's the same. And it's, I think the computer screen is a very dangerous place, as is our mobile phone, to be fair. But like, it's dangerous in that, like, you know, I'm not going to lie, Slack is like, it has a little red button. Am I looking at it? Like, who's messaging me during this talk, right? And so if you're, but I'm engaged in this, like I'm involved. And so that's a lot easier than if I'm doing work in a course. I could easily just be like, oh, let me like pause the video. Or most of us don't pause the video and pretend we're actually getting the information. And then we like go and get distracted. The cool thing about audio is it actually allows you to do the other thing, but the audio is still being processed because you're not having to watch the thing. And there's a lot to be said around the monotonous, possibly like physical tasks that you could be doing, like walking or like washing the dishes or folding laundry or something, and listening, and like how peaceful that actually sounds. I've had many people say, you know, sacred audio time that probably people listening to this, like they put on their headphones, they're waiting for this episode to come out, and it's anchored to something in their life. It's anchored to the laundry. It's anchored to the walk. It's anchored to the getting ready in the morning. And that means like I'm investing my time with Diane and putting on these noise canceling headphones. Like that is so different than saying like I'm watching a course, like because most people don't get to it. And so, yeah, audio is really powerful from a tool in learning that I think we forgot about for a while. When I first came up with this and was kind of explaining it, no joke, to my grandmother, I was telling, she's like, what do you do?
You got the 6-year-old kid test and the grandmother test. And if you get both of them, yeah, you're done. It's good.
You're passed. Exactly. And so she was like, yeah, I kind of know what a podcast is. You know, this is like 3 years ago. Yeah, I've heard of it. I don't subscribe. I don't listen. And I was like, yeah, so we like put those like learning content in podcast form. So maybe you don't know exactly what a podcast is, but we put that content in, you know, learning content in podcasts. And she goes, oh yeah. She's like, just like my books on tape, which taught me how to be a real estate agent. And I was like, exactly. And here's my grandma like popping in the tapes, right, in her car and learning on the go way before video was a thing. Then it's like, oh, we're kind of returning back to that, but it also worked. Like a lot of people got educated in that way. And so it is kind of cool to, which is why we named it Hello Audio. It's like, we're reminding people like audio is more than just podcasts. Like you can do a lot. It's like, it's a medium that we should be using more.
I'm cracking up, Lindsay, because I'm assuming it's Hello Audio, but you're like, Hello Audio.
Hello.
But you know, you are too young to know this. And even I am too young to know this, But once upon a time, there was no television, there was no internet, and people would literally gather around the radio to listen. Yep. And for me personally, I like to listen because I have ADHD. I can't tolerate boredom.
Yeah.
So I can fill my mind with something entertaining, something educational, something just to distract me from whatever mundane task I need to get done. But I remember hearing that podcast is the most intimate form of contact. So when I heard that, I'm like, ooh, tell me more. And I realized that a lot of people, when they're reading, especially if it's something that has a lot, it's dense, they'll get distracted and then they have to reread it. And people, when they're watching, tend to get, let's just say, in a more passive space where you can almost get a little bit hypnotized. You're just kind of like staring at the screen and you're watching and you're listening, but you're in a much more passive role. When you're listening, you are also imagining the person who's speaking to you, which I find engages your creativity. Because if someone's, they hear my voice, they have a picture in their head about what I look like, but they maybe don't know. They don't know you. They don't know what you look like. So their brain starts to imagine and engages their creativity, their imagination. So they start and they form a relationship with that imaginary person.
I think it's like there's something about it almost feels like they're in the room with you, where if somebody's on video, you, I see the separation that exists between us. Like I'm looking at a screen. But when I put in headphones, it's like I could be, like they could be in the other room talking to me right now. Like they're not, but they could be. I don't know if you've had this experience, but when I was hosting Academics Meet Business, I lived across the street from a community college, and somebody reached out to me and was like, we should meet up. Like she was an adjunct at like that school. And we met up and she's like, I feel like I've already had coffee with you. And that's very different than, you know, we watch Instagram reels and it feels like I know these people's lives, but like I'm looking through a looking glass and I know all this stuff about visually what surrounds them, to your point. Like, but if it's just the like disembodied voice, like you almost can like create, it's like a, it's a different part of your brain or something. Yes. Something's happening there that is unique, definitely.
I absolutely agree. I think you absolutely nailed it, Lindsay, thinking that I know they're not in the room with me, but I am literally talking in their ear. And you, you have heard this from other people who use your product, that I've had so many clients say, so because I'm so accustomed to your voice and the way you talk and all of my expressions like abso-frickin-lutely and fuck ton and, you know, just the things that I say. Some people say they hired me because I say things like that. And it's like, awesome. Awesome. But they say, so I found myself in a situation. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle it. And then I thought, what would Diane say? And I'm like, whoa, like that, that's powerful. That to me, like, I don't want to be an influencer. I don't care about the blue check mark. But you have the power through audio to influence people in a way that is intimate and is meaningful. And they are inviting that. It's not like I'm sneaking up on you and trying to manipulate you. It's like you invited me into your ear holes and you like hearing me in this way. So I think
it's like different. Go ahead.
It's different. No, I think it, I think we are speaking to the power of audio as a medium. What are you thinking about why it's not more widely used? Like I understand it hasn't been around as long. Why there are so many people who are still saying video is the way to go, or you got to have a blog or whatever. You and I are enthusiasts of audio for all the reasons that we're talking about. But why do you think there aren't more who are like, yes, please?
I mean, did you get into like Clubhouse when Clubhouse blew up and stuff
for a couple years ago? For half a minute.
Okay. So I've really liked it. And I was very early in it and literally had just built Hello Audio subscriptions turned on. I get my invite into Clubhouse and people are like, oh my gosh, Lindsay, this is going to change everything. And so there was this like moment of like, oh my gosh, is audio finally like, you know, evolving? I think we're stuck in a rut and we're not going to talk about Clubhouse like, but there was something special and is something. I think it maybe is like, it's going to show up in a different iteration. I don't think that's gone. There was something really powerful about like having conversations with people that did not involve video and like making everyone feel equal and being able to share what they wanted to share. There were issues with it too, of course, but you know, yeah, audio hasn't changed for a really long time. And I think podcasting, I mean, it's been around for 20-ish years, 21 mm-hmm. years, I think. And that's been the way. And you know, after Clubhouse, everyone's like, we should have social sharing of audio. Were you in the early days of Anchor when there were like, you could share these snippets of thoughts? Did you remember that? I was a professor and just getting into business when Anchor was not what it is now, but was this like social. And I was like, this is so cool. But it didn't stick. And they pivoted and went to, we are going to be free for podcasters, right? And then they get bought by Spotify. So like people are trying to figure out what the next thing is. I just don't think we know yet. And even at Hello Audio, we've always been like, what is the next thing? Like someone's going to like come up with it. I don't think it's going away. I think there is something special about audio that the snippets being shareable, it's just, it's not the same as video. And I wonder if it's because video, you know, we're down to 15 seconds, right, of our attention span. And
right.
Literally videos are made that are that long. Like audio, I think it has to do with like the state of mind like that we've been talking about. Mm. When I want to watch TikTok, I'm like in a very different state of mind when I'm scrolling Facebook, when I'm watching Reels, than I am when I flip on a podcast. So there's something there. And so maybe it won't ever be shareable like that. And we should be okay with that. But what could audio do, right? And I think what we're trying to do at Hello Audio with the private stuff and with the intimacy and the connection and the personalization, we're showing people that you don't have to have this polished show. I think that's where I'm like, what if it was, you know, not a fancy show that you had to show up for every week, but it was a series of lectures, right? Going back to the academic, you know, metaphor where you literally were sharing in front of a chalkboard, right? I think that when you start to say like, oh yeah, audio's cool in the like deep immersive learning space, it's not for a quick dopamine hit, which we ADHD folks know well.
We love it.
But it's like, it's for something a little deeper and more immersive. And that's, I think, what ties what we've been talking about and why audio hasn't been a real social app. It hasn't stuck. Doesn't mean it's not going to, but I think we need to honor it as what the medium is, that it's not supposed to be chopped up quick dopamine hits. Like there's something different about the way we consume it.
I agree 100%. And I'm thinking as you're speaking about this, Lindsay, that while we are all being bombarded with this information that the human attention span is now at the same level as a circus flea, we also know that books with titles like Deep Work by Cal Newport are ridiculously popular. So I'm totally with you on this. Maybe it's not that we have to make things quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker because nobody can pay attention longer. It's what do we need to create so that people willingly, intentionally, and with full knowledge and permission are in a more immersive experience, because it's a race to the bottom. Yeah. When we are just assuming that nobody wants to pay attention to anything for longer than 15 seconds. I mean, I worry about what that is doing to humanity, to our social skills, to our ability to connect, and I mean, on so many levels, but we're not going to go there. I'm going to dial us back down and talk about, like, for people listening, and my audience tends to be people who are self-employed, whether they consider themselves freelancers, consultants, coaches, entrepreneurs, independent professionals, service providers. A lot of people, when they first work with me, say, I want a podcast. I want to have a podcast. I love your podcast. I think I should have a podcast. I think podcasts are awesome. Let me tell you all the podcasts I listen to. I'm like, okay, hold up. Hold all the way up. maybe you do and maybe you don't. I know that with a private podcast, it's sort of like the barrier to entry, the commitment level, and just testing if it's right for you and for your market is a whole lot lower and makes a whole lot more sense for probably the majority of people who want to get into audio. So let's talk about that specifically. I created a private podcast. It's absolutely free of charge, and you can listen to it in the very same place that you're listening to me now, but it's private. So the way you get access to it is you're going to click on the link in the show notes. You'll enter your email address in the form and it will be sent to you. There are 10 mini-sodes. Each of them is a backstage pass into an actual coaching conversation that I have with one of my one-on-one coaching clients. Now, you're only going to hear my voice because privacy and confidentiality are important to me, but you're going to hear what the specific challenge or problem my client was facing and the feedback, advice, or mindset shift that I offered them. In the show notes, you're also going to get key points and takeaways because, as you know, if you're simply listening, nothing changes. It's when you apply what you learn that things begin to pop. So I hope you'll sign up for it. I hope you'll binge right through it. And I especially hope you'll let me know what you think. The link is in the show notes. Go grab it.
Yeah. So I think let's define what a private podcast is. I think that's really helpful. So public podcast is what you're talking about and what this show is, where it's distributed to every single network / podcast catcher app like iTunes and Spotify and yada, yada. And so, you know, it's public and it's shareable. And like, you know, someone can go to the link, someone can search the name of the show. That's the big thing with podcasts, is like discoverability is tough. Mm-hmm. But what we do know about it is people tend to recommend it by word of mouth. I've Yes. listened to this, right? And so they're searching for it in the podcast catcher apps. What a private podcast does is say, hold up, like this isn't available to everyone. You can't just search it. Okay. That's like the first easy layer. And so it's not searchable on any of the podcaster apps. That's the first thing. But then the second thing that, you know, takes it a step further is, okay, fine, it's not searchable, but what if the link was tied to a person that is allowed to have access? Mm-hmm. And so we get into what we do at Hello Audio, because if someone's buying your course that's $2,000, you definitely don't want this private link, even though it's not in Apple, to be shared with anyone else.
Yes.
And so the URL for the subscription for that RSS feed is unique to the individual email address. If you attempted to share it, nothing crazy happens. It's just, it won't play. It won't download. It won't show up. It will say podcast feed not found. And so that's like on a basic level what it is. And so what people can do with a private podcast is, yes, they can put their course content on it and charge for it, but they can also create free experiences that lead people, you know, on to some of the next stuff. And so with that, you're collecting email addresses. And this is what makes it very different than a public podcast, because now I can know who's listening, who's subscribed, how many downloads that individual person, many, many things. And so that's where we went and ran with it at Hello Audio. We started inventing new types of RSS feeds. We started saying, what can we do with segmenting and tagging and you know, automations. And so that's what we essentially built. And the reason why it's very different than a private podcast on a host like Transistor or Captivate or some of the other public podcast hosts, is they're really focused on the public podcaster who probably wants to charge $5 a month for extra content around their show.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with people who have a lot of content and different types of content, and not everyone wants a subscription. And so we knew that we had to build it because we had to build it for our people, where you would drag and drop your course, you know, library videos into Hello Audio, and every single video becomes an episode. Like, duh. Of course, a public podcast hosting company is not going to do that, because you have a weekly show, doesn't everybody? But that's what's cool here is, and this is why I think this is special for a test out if you like audio. It's like you can kind of test out not only if you like audio, but like your people like
exactly.
audio. I think that's really important. And so by taking some content that maybe is sitting on the shelf for a while, or a course that you haven't sold in a while, or a really awesome workshop that you did, and making that something free that you can give to your audience, like you don't have to show up every week for that. It's on Evergreen. It's an Evergreen podcast show, if you want to call it that. People can sign up for it. And so it's a great way to dip your toes or feet, if you will, not only for you as the creator, but to see if your audience is just like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed, right? And now they start converting higher because they're consuming more. And that's what we see at Hello Audio. So yeah, it's definitely been a great intro to podcasting, if you will.
But it's also, I mean, because I'm part of the Hello Audio community, and because you have wonderful classes and coaching calls, and I get exposed to how other people are using audio in their business. So for example, if you are a coach, you can, and you're recording all of your coaching calls on Zoom, for example, you can then input for each of your clients, you can have a private podcast feed for them where they get those recordings in their podcast player after each coaching call so that they can go back and re-listen to things that happened during the call. If you have a course that is on video or slides, you can give them the audio as well. You can have a pop-up private podcast right before each launch of your group program that answers all of the questions that people have about, is this the right program for me? And that would take the place of you having discovery calls or strategy calls or consultation calls. You are literally anticipating all of the questions that people ask, making those different episodes of your private podcast, having that pop up during your launch cycle and disappear when you close the cart. Let's talk about some other, because you have so many creative people in the community who have used private podcast in ways that you're like, wow, I didn't even think about that. That's friggin' awesome. And then other people are doing it too.
Yeah. I mean, the newsletter one, I think, is a cool one where Tarzan K was kind of the first person to roll it out. And she's an email writer. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what she teaches people do how to do is write emails. She wrote twice a week. She's super funny, obviously, right? Like, teaching email. And I think she just had a image, like a clickable image in every email that said, would you rather listen to this? And it's like, duh, right? You know, she actually didn't collect email addresses individually. She just used a general, what we call a universal link at Hello Audio, mm-hmm. but a link that is private still, but anyone can use it. So she can't see exactly who's listening, but she already had their email addresses. They were on her list. Mm. And so for her, she was like, easy. I want them to be able to listen wherever. And it was called Tarzan Reads Her Emails. And it's such a great, and what was cool is it was so much better than reading an email. Who goes in your inbox and reads his newsletters anymore, right? I can't. I try, but it just never happens. And then, but you know, she's funny and she's cracking jokes. You hear her voice again, that immersiveness. Mm-hmm. It's like when an author reads an audiobook, you're like, oh, cool. Like, I remember the first audiobook I listened to was Bill Clinton's book, My Life. Mm. I was just like, that felt like he was like, chilling, right? With his Alabama accent. Like, I don't know. There's something special about an audio in the voice of the person. And so, especially if it's a newsletter or something where you're sharing personal stories, you know, why not offer that option for people who want it, who choose it? And I think that's what Hello Audio is to a lot of people is, and what I'll say too, is like, we're not trying to replace video. I don't think like any of video should go away. It's more like, you know, there are sometimes things that are better in audio or just make it a little more accessible to people. And if 20% of your audience or more is like, oh my gosh, this I look for now in every course, like, why wouldn't you add it? You know what I mean? And I think if 20% more of your audience is more likely to go through your content by having the audio version, I mean, what conversion tool has numbers like that? Nothing really that you can add. So I think it's pretty powerful to recognize that like some people are just way more likely to be able to listen. So yeah, the newsletter one is a big one. I know I went off on a tangent. That's on like right. Why, but yeah. So newsletter is big. I mean, lots of people use it for personal reasons too. One of our Hello Audio users created a private feed for her friend's 50th birthday and had people record messages for them. They've been used in funerals. They've been used to like document. And so that's kind of cool, right? The idea that like, preserving voice, again, very different than video, and leaving special messages for somebody. It's like, oh yeah, there's definitely something there. So there's personal stuff. Oh, my favorite use case is I have a feed called Listen Lindsay, and it's my stuff that I want to listen to. I feel like every Hello Audio user, yeah, like make a feed for yourself where you can put your coaching calls that you hire somebody who maybe doesn't have Hello Audio because they haven't figured out that that makes sense. And you can put your content there. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite. Yeah, so it's a personal feed for myself with my content that I'm, you know, allowed to appropriately have access to, but I can put it there and listen to it when I need to, if I need to review something. So
I think you've talked me into doing a what would Diane do, you know, It's like, because I've had several people that have worked with me say, what would Diane do? And I'm like, I think, isn't that like, what would Jesus do? Like, I think that's maybe kind of sacrilegious. Are you telling me I should start my own religion? And of course, I was going off on a weird ass tangent. But you know, you remember the lanyards, WWJD, like, what would Jesus do? And I'm definitely not trying to encroach on anybody's like massive following here. But if people say,
I'm sure it's trademarked.
So yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's branded. But you know, some clients say, you know, in between our calls, I just sometimes would like just a little dose of Diane.
There you go. That's cute.
You know, and so it's like, you know, and I could just riff on that stuff. I could just record it like so easy, just even while I'm out doing a walk, listening to podcasts, and I get an idea and I just record it and it gets released to all of my current and maybe even former clients. That would be so easy.
Yeah.
And I could literally test it too, right? That's the other thing. I got to just tell you, I circled around. Hello. I don't think I've ever told you this yet. It's like, ooh, got my curiosity. I circled around Hello Audio for months. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I should do this. Should I do this? I don't know if I can do this. They say it's easy. They say it's really easy. But, you know, come on. I didn't grow up with technology. How easy can it be? Am I going to put myself on the steep end of another learning curve? But I got to tell you, setting up a private podcast with Hello Audio is the easiest thing I have ever done with technology. It was so easy that I actually felt hardcore ashamed of myself for doubting that you said it was easy, because it totally is. And it's not just easy because it's simple. It's very robust. I mean, you have so many customizations within Hello Audio that you can choose to use or not use. And I usually, when it comes to technology, and you would probably agree, I usually think simple means it doesn't have a lot of features. If you want a lot of features, it's going to be complex. But yours is the only platform that I use that is actually user-friendly, simple to use, but it's actually quite robust. You have a lot of options. And you could just experiment. Yeah,
totally. And I think that's the cool part. It's funny. People are scared. They're like, I put an audio somewhere, someone listening. It's like, you have to send a link. Like, it's not just like showing up in podcast apps because it was recorded. No, it's true. It is really easy. And I think that, kind of alluding to what we were talking about, of like a public show feels very like anxiety inducing a little bit. It's like, oh shoot, like this goes out into the public. And the thing about, you know, getting an audio up quickly, and like you're talking about, I'm on a walk and I have an idea and it's cool that I'm using my AirPods. It's going to be fine. Like, it doesn't need to be my fancy mic. Like, people know what they're signing up for. I think in a public show, you know, now we have these like episodic kind of, you know, dramas that are so well produced, and it's hard to compete with. Like, it's not hard to compete, but it takes effort to have a very well edited, well sounding show. And so I think that deters people. But when someone's like, I have a private podcast and I've raised my hand that I want to listen to it as an audience listener, it's like, it's cool if it's not. I just want like you and the content. Like, I don't need to be wooed into mm-hmm. something with like crazy advertisers and like all the stuff that go into, you know, some of the really fancy shows online. So I love that you bring that up, because it's true. We've had many people say that they've floated around us for a while and like, it can't be that easy. And then like when they sit down and do it and they're like, why didn't I do this 4 months ago when I first like thought about the idea?
I have trust issues. That's why.
Yeah. As an entrepreneur, totally. It's like, oh, is this one of those ideas that is like a flash in the pan and like, it's not a thing. And then when you go and you're like, oh, this is easier. Oh, I could build a whole, like my whole business could be like around this. I think it's definitely very unique what we do with that. And we wanted to make it easy. We kind of stripped down the podcast creation experience to like, what do you actually need to have to make a show? And like, we tried to make that as simple as possible. So we were going off of the industry standard and we're like, why did they make this so episode based or so? And so that's where we got to play with. And so, which is cool. I think whenever a new tool comes into an old, I don't want to say old, but like a
established, you know, medium,
established industry. Yeah. Thank you. As an outsider, you could be like, well, why haven't they just done it like this? And that's exactly how we built it. And so I think that comes through in the simplicity, because we're just like, these are the things that you care about as a creator and that your audience is going to care about. And so that was always at the forefront as we were building. And we knew as we were building too, that it would mimic course platforms. So the idea, you talked about a pop-up podcast. Yes, we expire podcasts. So like, they're only available for a certain length of time. And it's like, you know, just like in a course platform, or if you want to drip it, or only a certain number of people get access because they bought this other thing. Perfect. Like, we have all of that. And so we kind of modeled it against other course or content hosting kind of platforms. And so, yeah, it's always been important to us that it save you time as an entrepreneur and as a creator. And and make it, yeah, just as easy as possible to get something out there.
I also think that people, I'm thinking all the way back when I was in my undergrad and a course that I signed up for that was only offered once a year, I really wanted to take it. I actually left after the second lecture because I could not tolerate the professor's voice. I don't know if this is an ADHD thing or not, but it's like, if I really want to learn from someone, I have to be able to listen to them. And I just went and took someone else's course because I couldn't listen to their voice. So I think, you know, that goes to the intimacy of the medium. But even though maybe audio hasn't peaked, maybe there are going to be iterations. Your company is going to continue to evolve. You continue to improve. You continue to find new ways that people can use Hello Audio. But I think the industry, when we don't know what the next big thing is, but do you have any speculations about the future of audio? And also, I would like if you would, before you answer that, I realize I have a pre-question. I've heard you say both audio first and audio only. And I think anyone listening to this likes consuming content on audio. Would it be a decision that they would need to make in their business, whether they are going to create audio first or audio only? And what are some of the considerations? And then the follow-up question is, where do you think it's going in the future?
Yeah. So audio first, audio only. So when I think of audio only, you know, if you have video on a video podcast, that's making its way right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about video and podcasting.
Everybody.
Which I'm like, that's so interesting that we got here. But essentially, it's audio first, I would still argue. And the video people are making, so their show becomes, you know, findable or discoverable is typically what is happening with that. So I would say podcasting is audio first. When you're looking at something like audio only, that to me is... like there's not any supplementary videos for meaning like an audio course, like you wrote it specifically knowing that it was going to be audio. And I think that there's not a ton of things that you need to change, but when you do know that that's the medium that is going to be at the center of it, the way you take someone through that content might be a little different. One of the big objections that people have at first is like, well, you can't just put my videos, you know, and my course videos in audio form. What do they know that they're looking at? I didn't talk about them being video or audio. And, you know, part of me is like, yeah, but like people are already doing that anyways. They're like, you know, like driving and listening, even though the video is playing, or they're cooking and the video is playing. And so they're kind of already doing that. And I'm like, sure. Like if you're walking through Facebook ads for the first time and you're listening to that content, you're absolutely going to have to go back and look at what the person's doing. But that doesn't mean you can't learn something in the process and actually like still move through the material and get some, you know, information in your head from that. And so I have a whole rant on learning styles and all of that. But with audio only, it's like you're intentionally creating that content knowing that it is going to be consumed in audio form only. And audio first is more like your audio first, but there might be some supplementary videos in the course content or something like that.
Okay, and so makes sense.
And then you get into audio as a supplement. And that's like a lot of the video courses that you really want people to go through the video content at some point. So the audio becomes a supplement or a way to revisit the material or visit the material for the first time there. So then when they go to the video content, they feel very confident as they're going through because they've learned some stuff already and they know where you're taking them on the journey. And so there's definitely value in all three ways. But that's typically how I talk about it.
And I'm hearing your $100,000 investment in that PhD coming through loud and clear because you really do have an exquisite appreciation for adult learners and learning styles and really wanting to meet people where they're at. So if your parents are still throwing shade on you for changing your mind, you tell them Diane Wingard says it was not a waste.
Like, of course,
they probably are super proud of you because you've been successful now in two completely different arenas. So
thank you. Yeah.
So where is all this headed?
Yeah, we're all the poof. I don't know, man. AI has thrown me for a loop the last
no
two
shit.
Months.
Like,
yeah, ask me that 5 months ago, I would have said something very different. You know, I think we're in a very interesting time. I don't love AI sounding audio. I'm not going to lie. So if we talk about text to audio conversions or whatever AI tools, meh, will it get better? Probably. So we're getting to the point where I can't say that for that long. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we kind of alluded to it earlier. I really think there might be a returning to, like you said, going deep in certain things, that it's a great medium to do that, that we're always going to need a counter for the quick and, you know, rapid fire. We're going to also need the slowdown and really take it in. So that's why I believe there's always going to be a place for it. There is a world where it becomes the forefront. And this is getting into like augmented reality stuff, mm-hmm. where, you know, we're going to be wearing glasses and like, we're going to actually be hearing a lot because we're going to be in our world and like the immersiveness of what's happening with audio is really important. That, so, I mean, that's getting into like weird stuff that maybe I'm qualified to talk about, but probably not.
Yeah, but I love sci-fi and futuristic, right? And it's dystopian like fantasy. Yeah. And yeah, bring it, you know?
Right.
Because that's the bigger conversation. I mean, AI is the conversation that's happening right now.
Yep.
And augmented reality, virtual reality, all of that is coming. It's already here. How people learn and how people connect and how people interact and how people communicate, it's all part of the conversation. I do think that asynchronous conversations, in a way, are the future. But if you think about like pen pals, and how people conducted courtships when they were separated by war or immigration, and they had to write a letter and wait 2 weeks for it to be delivered and maybe another 2 weeks to be responded to. So being able to just take something in and not talk back in a way is, it's futuristic, but it's also historical and part of the human experience that I think we can tap into. So I'm here for it. I think it's a super interesting conversation. I think you have a wonderful product. And I appreciate that you are an ADHD entrepreneur who has created something that is very friendly to brains like yours and mine, because sitting and watching a video, no matter how much I want to learn, is excruciating. And now
you have to
I don't have to do it.
The TV at the
same time,
right?
Right. And then I'm probably knitting and checking my phone. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for being here and for being you and for, I think, a very stimulating conversation. And if anybody is thinking, you know what? It's time for me to really look seriously at creating a private podcast. This is the lady that you want to connect with. I'm going to make sure that you have all the links in the show notes. And if you want to talk to somebody about where that might fit into your business, you can talk to me about that. So
awesome. Well, thanks for having me. This was super fun.
I enjoyed it.
I knew it was going to be fun.
Of course. All right. Awesome. Thanks so much, Lindsay.